Thank you very much, worship team, and thank you, Butch and Pam. And can you believe that if you talk to Butch, he will tell you he does not think he's a good singer? Very good, thank you. Christmas is 2 days away, and I'm excited. I really love Christmas. I love this time of year. But if you talk to people, they will sometimes tell you what Christmas is about to them, and it can be different. And so I want to talk today, what is Christmas about? What is it about biblically? Well, biblically, you'll actually see many different things coming up as to what Christmas is about. But something that would be very memorable for us today, and that's both from the Apostle John. As you know, it's my favorite gospel, and probably my favorite apostle is John. In the book of John and in 1 John, we see that Christmas is about love and Christmas is about light. Love and light. And I want to bring both of those things out for us today. And I want to do that with words, using my words to communicate those things to you. But you know that if you're going to have a conversation with someone, you have to use words to have that conversation. And you also know that in order for that conversation to work, you both have to understand the meaning of the words that you're using. It's possible to have a conversation with someone using words, and you both think you have the same meaning for a word, but it might actually be that you're saying this word, and it means something very different from what this person who's using that same word means when he or she says the word. One quick example, my job, I work outside sometimes with my job, and it's been cold. And so, I wear one of these when I'm outside. What's this called? What do we call it here? A toboggan. Yeah, I wear a toboggan. But guess what? Our friends of ours from the north, or from Canada especially, if you tell them, I wear a toboggan on my head when it's cold, they'll say, why in the world do you put a sled on your head? A toboggan in the north and in Canada means a sled. So it's possible to use words, and they mean different things to different people. So it's important that you get the right definition of certain words. Not so much with a toboggan, okay. But what you'll find, and especially when you have a religious conversation where you're using the word God, that word can mean vastly different things to different people. There's so many different world religions that if you talk to someone somewhere else about God, when you talk about Him and when they talk about Him, or it for them, whatever they conjure up when they talk about their supreme being of God, can be so very different. We'll focus that down now to just Christianity, just our Christian circles here, okay? We're going to focus it down. When we talk about God, okay, same God, all right? But then when you focus it down even further to talking about God's love, that can bring up different things in someone's mind. When you say God is love or God loves me, that can be very different. So when I say, first of all, that Christmas is about love, what do I mean? And what do you mean when you say that or think that? So what does it really mean that God loves me? Or what does it mean that God is love? Because when the Bible talks about God is love, it means that He always wants the highest good for others. It means He wants to do what's best for me and for you. And it doesn't always mean that He lets you do what you want to do necessarily. Sometimes we feel loved. I might have a favorite grandparent or something like that, and I might say, why is this grandparent your favorite, little Cohen? Oh, because he lets me do what I want to do. I get to do things over there that my parents don't let me do. And I might have the most fun at that grandparent's house, and I might feel the most loved in my little mind because I get to do anything I want. And it's not necessarily loving to just let me run wild, especially the little Cohen. God's love seeks to do what's best for me. And God did something for us, of course, that you know that you could not do for yourself at Christmas. You know this verse? This is the first verse we're going to look at. We're going to have various verses today. The first verse we're going to look at, John 3:16. You know that one? Tim Tebow knows that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God didn't want me to perish. God doesn't want you to perish. So he gave his Son. I was going to perish without the Son, but God did something so that we wouldn't have to perish in our sins. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, the giving of the Son, Jesus Christ. But why was I going to perish? What was wrong with me that I was in danger of perishing? Because it says, whoever believes in him should not perish. What's all this perishing business? What's all this dying business about? Well, the answer, as you know, is sin. Fact is, all of us, before coming to know Jesus Christ, the righteous one, we are not righteous. Romans 3 makes it very clear that there's none righteous, and then it says this, no, not one. None of us have righteousness in us. We don't seek the Lord as we ought. And if we do seek him before we come to know Christ, if we do seek him, usually it's, oh my goodness, I'm in extreme trouble. Help! It's almost like we just want the genie in the bottle. Just grant me those wishes that I want. And then if you just leave me alone after that, I'm fine with that. I just want help out of this situation. Our sin is what we need the most help with, because that's what's truly our biggest problem. And so if I think of God's love to mean I can live any way I want to live and he's fine with that, of course I'm mistaken, because that's going to lead me in the path of sin. Because you have within you, you're born as a descendant of Adam and Eve. You're born with a sin nature. Romans 5:1 says that in Adam and Eve, all sinned. They were our head representative of the human race. When they fell into sin, their offspring after them is born in a sinful state. A friend of mine said, if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. And I said, friend, if I had been there, I would have done it quicker than them. It was going to happen. They didn't do it. It was coming. Because we're weak. We have within us this ability to choose. And now that we're in our sin nature, you will always choose the wrong path. And so my sin is my big problem. And thank the Lord, he so loved us that he did not want us to perish. Thank the Lord, he made a way for us to be saved. He did not have to. You've heard me mention before, he did not send a Savior to the angels that fell. The angels that fell before humans were even around. We don't know when in history, but the wicked one, Satan, rebelled because of pride, it says in the scriptures, took a third of the angels with him when he fell. We call them now demons. And we read in the book of Luke that hell was originally prepared for the devil and his angels, we read. They're going there. Period. Why? God did not send them a Savior. There's no angel Savior that if those demons believe in Him, well, He'll take the punishment for them. No. Our Lord did not have to send us a Savior, but He so loved us that He did, even though you don't deserve it. So the world's definition of love, meaning if it means God just lets me do what I want and gives me things I want, is not necessarily the biblical definition of love, because that definition of love says, I'm going to give you what you need. A solution for your sin problem. And that came through Jesus. True love gives me what's best for me. Christmas is about love. And see if we can see further what it means that God is love. Christmas is about God loving me, but we also read in the scriptures that it says God is love. Well, what does it mean that God is love? 1 John 4, we're going to look at that. 1 John 4, 8 through 10, Lord willing, the text is going to be up there already. Those guys are good. 1 John 4, 8 through 10, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That gets quoted to us a lot, because God is love. Let's keep reading and see what John means when he says that God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. How? How was God's love made manifest? That means to be shown. If something's made manifest, it means it's shown so you can touch it, see it. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, Christmas, so that we might live through Him. But John's got more. He's got more. What else, John? In this is love. What? What is it, John? Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and, watch this, sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What does that word propitiation mean? You didn't use that this week, did you? Propitiation. That's four syllables. That's big for me. It means payment that satisfies. Propitiation means payment that satisfies. Say it with me. Payment that satisfies. That's what it means to be a propitiation. Jesus Christ, Him giving Himself, Him taking the punishment for sinners on the cross, shedding His blood and rising again from the dead, that was God's payment that satisfied the wrath of God. There has to be punishment for sin. You know that. And as I said before, you actually want that. Now, you don't want it for yourself. But if someone sinned against you, especially in some horrific way, and they captured that man, you wouldn't say, God is love. Let that man go who murdered my family. God is love. You would say, put him in the deepest, darkest jail. And make sure it's in a state that still practices the death penalty. Justice is good. We want justice. We need there to be justice. And guess what? God is a good judge also, and He must punish sin. Thank His name. He provided a payment that satisfies for for your sin and for mine. We just sung about that. Holy love was laid in a manger. The payment that satisfies was born. So next time you hear someone in sin quote this verse to you, and they love to quote this one. I love to quote it back in the day too. God is love, meaning He's cool with my sin. And no, God is love doesn't mean He's cool with your sin. God is love means He provided a payment for sin. Not that so you could relive sin, so you could be freed from sin. Christmas is about love. God's love giving me what's best for me through Jesus Christ. Christmas is also about light. Christmas is not only about love, Christmas is also about light. Light coming to us. We do the Advent candles in my house. Why? Because we're lighting these candles to represent light coming into the world. It's a fun time for us. We like it. And it's very symbolic and memorable. The Scriptures teach us that God is light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. They should also be up behind me. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you. Aren't you glad God gave His word to His people and they proclaimed it and recorded it for us to have thousands of years later? This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. God in heaven is perfectly pure and without sin. That's what it means here when it says, in Him is no darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. It means He is without sin. He cannot sin. Aren't you thankful that the God of the universe, who created everything, who knows your thoughts, who made you the way you are, who has the whole world in His hands, like you sang about when you were a child, aren't you glad that He's good? Aren't you glad that we don't worship those Greek gods that have like a soap opera for their life? It's ridiculous. If you've heard some of these stories, you're like, seriously? Aren't you glad the one true God is holy and pure and good and without sin? Oh, I am. I'm glad He's not like me. There's nothing bad or false or evil in Him. He can only do good. There's another scripture that talks about Jesus and also calls Him the light. This original verse that John wrote in John in 1 John chapter 1, talking about God the Father, just in case there's any doubt in your mind, I'm going to show that we can connect this God who is light to Jesus, who's also light, showing that they are one. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says this. It's not going to be behind you. Let me just read it to you here. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You know what the dawn is? Talk about the dawn coming. It means the sun's coming up. And as the sun comes up, if you see it, light is shining on you. Anything in its presence gets light, which you can feel. Matthew tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy made 700 years earlier. Matthew tells us that Jesus fulfilled this during his ministry years. It's actually in Matthew chapter 4, it says that Jesus started his ministry, and then he says, which fulfilled this verse? And he quotes Isaiah 9. That says, the people walking in the land of deep darkness, light has dawned on them. Christmas is about light shining in our darkness, because in God is no darkness at all. Wherever He is, there's light. That's why in the book of Revelation it says, there's no need for a lamp or the sun or anything like that in heaven. Why? God's there. And where God is, there's light. Do you know one thing that's going to make heaven, heaven? You're going to get to look at God in the face. You're going to get to look at Him. But why do some people not come to the light? Why do some people not come to the light? I remember before I was saved, not being in the light. And when I think about it now, when I think back to it, I actually remember it feeling dark. I didn't think I was in darkness at the time, mind you. But once I got into the light, and then looked back, I said, oh, wow. I was in darkness. I remember thinking about the music I used to listen to and the things I used to watch and all that. And I just think darkness, just dark, evil, bad. So why do some people not come to the light? John chapter 3 has that answer for us. John chapter 3, just a few verses after John 3:16, which we love so much. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, tell us why some people won't come to the light. It says this in verse 19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Why, John? Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. I've told you this before, but before I was saved, I was at a party, and some friends of mine that got saved out of our group would occasionally come to us and try to tell us the truth so that we could be saved. And I was content to talk God things with him, but then once he said, well, let me go to my car and get my Bible and come back and I'll show you, I walked away. I thought, don't be bringing a Bible around me. I don't like that. You know why? This book is light. And I knew I didn't want to be around a Bible while I'm in my sin. You know why? Because it exposed my sin. It made me uncomfortable. You know why? Because I was wicked. And I loved it. I loved my sin. I didn't despise my sin. I liked it. I tried to get away with it. I wanted more of it. I was hungry for it. You know why? Because that's my nature. And it's yours too, before you come to know the Lord. If you come to know the Lord, you will have two things happen within you. This is a good test for you to see if you know the Lord. Two things will start to happen with you in your heart when you come to know the Lord. You'll start to love God more and more, and you'll start to hate sin more and more. Love, hate, they'll be there. Love for God, hatred for sin. If that's not there, you should question your salvation. And I'm saying that because I care about you. Christmas is about light coming into the world. Ask the Lord to expose in you dark places that maybe you're hiding. If you know there's some in you, ask the Lord to help you repent of those things. Sinful mindsets, sinful habits, sinful talk. Any action the Lord hates, ask Him to help you repent of those things and turn away from them. He wants to shine His light in you. And the light's so much better than the darkness. We read earlier in 1 John 1 that says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. And do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's true. That's light exposing itself on you. Light that you need. Light that does not come from within you. You need that light that comes from outside of you and shines on you like those lights are shining on me right now. I don't have light within myself. It's got to be Jesus being that dawn of light that shines on me. Christmas is about light. Come to the light. If you're not in Him, come to the light right now. Jesus is passing by right now as I'm preaching. This is Jesus walking in our midst, speaking to you now, saying, come to the light. Let Him expose the darkness so He can take it and be that payment that satisfies for you. Christmas is about love coming down to give us what we need the most. Christmas is about light shining in our darkness so that we don't have to live in it anymore. And the joy that comes with that, like Butch sang, it's like the package is wrapped with ribbons of, what did you say, joy and peace, I believe you said? Joy and hope. A good metaphor, I like that. So we meet Christ in His Word. And His words are true, and we have to believe them by faith. So I want to say to you, Merry Christmas. It's my gift to all of you this morning is truth. I think that's the best gift I could give you is truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You very much for sending Your Son to be the payment that satisfies for our sin. Thank You for love. And thank You for light. These things that we need, these things that we're reminded of at Christmas, and these things that You're always holding out for sinners so that they can come and be a part of Your family because of Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.